NBA preseason upstaged by a G League game, but it's not just any G League game. Plus, the GM survey is out. The things that really made us go, and is this the year of Luka? We're playing real or fake right now on the Locked On NBA podcast.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On NBA podcast. Thank you for making this show your first listen every day. Really appreciate you. The show is available everywhere you get podcasts. It's free, available on all platforms, even YouTube. And today, being joined by Andy Kamenetsky, we're doing a Lakers-Celtics Locked On NBA podcast. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Locked On. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. Andy hosts Locked On Lakers with your brother. How you feeling about that?
I first of all, this is apropos to the competition that we have going right now for most YouTube views and most YouTube channel subscribers. The Lakers and Celtics, because this is just the way everything NBA works. Just like back in the 60s and 70s, our YouTube channels are just neck and neck, our subscribers neck and neck. So our respective fan bases, our viewers, our listeners, they have been stepping up, and I say on behalf of John, we really appreciate it. Let's keep the rivalry going.
Anything that keeps the Lakers-Celtics rivalry going. What's your YouTube subscriber number up to?
I believe we're at about 8,200, something like that.
Damn. Mm-hmm. All right. So you pulled ahead of me there. I'm just about 8,050. So. Got to put the call out there. Yeah, subscribe to our YouTube.
Let's 7,500 of those were in like the 1960s. before the league integrated.
Right. A bunch of plumbers and everybody. It's Bob Cousy's. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the night in the NBA. Later on, we'll talk about the MVP race and everything. The GM survey came out. There's a lot of interesting stuff there. But there was basketball. We're playing basketball again. So let's just dive into the night in the league, starting with the Miami Heat losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves 121-111. Who cares about the scores, right? The big story here, no Karl Anthony Towns, no Rudy Gobert, no D'Angelo Russell, no Jimmy Butler. So, you know, preseason. But it's nice to see Tyler Hero have a big game. He gets the big extension. You're always having a fear, Andy, of the guys getting the big extension and then not living up to what you're paying them.
Well, he's a fascinating guy, Hero, just because that is a lot of money for a guy that has been primarily a bench player. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that he's necessarily thought of as not starter caliber, but it's still different to when he hasn't been regularly going up against, you know, starting opponents for the majority of his minutes. He obviously can close games. He's obviously a talented, important part of the Heat's core, but it's really interesting seeing him get that type of commitment. I know Jordan Poole's paying attention.
Yes, indeed. If you guys missed it yesterday, Dave Vermeil, who hosts Locked On Heat, hosts Locked On NBA on Tuesdays. He had a whole big breakdown of what he thought. You get the Miami perspective there. And of course on Locked On Heat, moving on to the New York Knicks, 117-96 winners over the Detroit Pistons. For me, the Detroit Pistons, they get a nice game from Jaden Ivey, the rookie, next to Cade Cunningham. That's going to be the big thing for the Detroit Pistons. Can those two guys play together? It's going to be an exciting young backcourt. Detroit, I don't know how many games they're going to win, but if those two guys can play well together, that's going to be a big part of that core going forward. But for New York, Andy, the big thing, I'm sure Knicks fans hammering the over after seeing about 20 minutes of Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and RJ Barrett playing well together.
Yeah, I thought there was a really interesting balance between Brunson and Randle in terms of they basically had the exact same amount of shots and the exact same amount of assists, and they were both pretty efficient in general. And these are two guys that would both, I think, feel like they could be running a lot of the offense. So I think it's a good start in terms of equilibrium, and then you combine it with Barrett leading the team with both 21 points and a team leading 14 shots. And that's got to feel promising for Tibbs and for the Knicks front office. You need to see him do it against a team that's projected to be better than Detroit, But again, for the Knicks, I think this is what you want to see building in the preseason.
The Pelicans beat the Chicago Bulls. Blah, blah, blah. Zion Williamson is the only story here.
Yep.
He went out there. He played pretty well, played 15 minutes, but in those 15 minutes looked explosive. Everybody sharing the clips of Zion getting the ball on the right block, ripping through and throwing down a dunk, a big chase down block. You see Zion, the pictures circulating of Zion last media day versus this media day and how much better he looks, how much slimmer he looks. So for Pelicans fans, watching him go out there, look like his old self, look really, really, really explosive and come out of this game in one piece, it's like, whew, okay, Zion's back.
Well, he's also too, and I don't mean this to like to cast doubt on his dedication towards conditioning or anything like that. I know it's been a controversial topic, but that's not what I'm getting at. He's incentivized, though, heading into this season in ways that I think he had never been before, even acknowledging he got paid and he got his long-term deal, because he knows that this team is really competitive with or without him. But when you saw what they did last year, you know, once they got once they really got things going, and especially with CJ McCollum in there, first-time head coach, like Zion now, I think, has something that he feels like he's a part of in New Orleans, as opposed to just wondering, what am I actually doing here?
Yeah, that's the big thing. Pelicans are one of those teams where you don't know exactly what they're going to be. Their ceiling is high, their floor can be low. But I like what they've got, and so nice to see Zion back and doing his thing. All right, Utah and Portland. I did not care about this game because when that thing was going on, it was Wembanyama time.
I think even our boss, David Locke, voice of the Jazz, would understand in this particular case. I don't think he will take offense at us totally blowing off Jazz Blazers preseason for this game.
Listen, we're even tanking on the podcast to get to Victor Wembanyama. we tank that game. Doesn't matter.
Right we are.
It's all about Wembanyama, who went out there and went crazy. Very infrequently do games like this, where his French team and the G League Ignite played, and Scoot Henderson, who's another guy that's at the top of next year's draft class. It's really between those two guys at this point. Very infrequently do these things live up to the hype, but you saw Wembanyama out there. First of all, the numbers, 37 points. He's 7'4", by the way, for people who don't know. 37 points on 7-11 shooting from three, back on 8-12 from the free throw line, 5 block shots. And on the other side, Scoot Henderson with 28 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds on 11-21 shooting. Just a back and forth battle, but really the talk is about Wembanyama doing guard things at 7'4". Go onto Twitter and you can't avoid all of the clips being shared of all the insane things that he's done. And 7 3 pointers, unicorn indeed.
And his stroke looks incredible. Like it's gorgeous to watch. And he's got handle. There was a couple times he ripped down a rebound, took it past half court. He was blocking shots. He was altering them. And I felt in a lot of ways kind of bad for Scoot Henderson, because he played really well. He put on a hell of a show himself. And it's going to get overshadowed because he's merely a great-looking conventional young player, as opposed to a great-looking, like, true unicorn. Unicorn has become a phrase that's been kind of overused over the last, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 years, because we're seeing so many, you know, big men start stretching out. But I mean, this is, you're going to see every team, John, this coming season tank, like the Warriors, the Bucks, like everybody's tanking, like everybody's just going 0-82,
LeBron, trade Anthony Davis, just going to the,
no, the Lakers have no incentive to tank because the Pelicans have their pick.
Right.
So number one seed in the West, baby.
I see your plan. Yeah, man, this guy. Now I always have a fear of these 7'4" guys who are as skinny as he is.
Yeah.
The torque that they put on their legs. I legitimately am afraid of, you know, the downside of that. But that would never scare anybody away from going for him and making him a centerpiece of your team. This is the guy that you do tank for. This is the guy that you say, you get him, your entire franchise changes for the next 10 to 15 years. So, but just the wow factor, you really do see what people are talking about and the true potential, because this is just the beginning for him. So, he's
amazing.
A wild night. Yeah, man. He looked great and fluid. The fluidity for a 7'4" guy, the ability to hang a little bit, because 7'4" guys don't normally jump, just the ability to take contact and hang, even as thin as he is. Some of those things, you really are impressed. The footwork is really good. Recognition is really good. It's yeah. And you're right. Scoot's getting overshadowed because this guy is just so good.
28 points on 11 of 21 from the field, 2 of 3 from behind the arc, 5 rebounds, 9 assists. His playmaking, you know, instincts and just the ability to do it at that age. Again, he's really, I felt kind of bad for him because he had a terrific showcase in his own right, but he's just not as insanely unique as Wembanyama.
That's right. That's why in the annual GM survey, who is the best international player not in the NBA? 45% of them have said Victor Wembanyama.
What do the other 55% have to drink when they filled this thing? What are they talking
Nikola
about?
Nikola Mirotic's cousins are on that.
wait, what?
Yeah, seriously, 28% Nikola Mirotic.
Those folks must really feel silly after this game. There's a reason this thing's anonymous, John.
I think the votes would change. There are some other very interesting answers on this GM survey, which we will get to now in the second segment. We'll do that after we talk a little bit here about Prize Picks, which is a great daily fantasy game that allows you to pick multiple players, multiple sports. And the best part about this is you get to do it against the projections, against the over-unders. You're not going up against professionals who are trying to just take everybody's money. You're doing it just against the numbers. So if you get it right, you get your money. Very simple. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they go to score more or less than the Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. Again, it's just you against the projections, and they offer projections against any sport that you watch. Ready? The list: NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, football, MMA, boxing. Did I say football twice? Because, yeah, sure, why not? Disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, more. You can make your entries in 60 seconds or less, so it's super simple, safe, and fast withdrawals. Currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app right now or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can get a 100% instant deposit match for up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit 100, you get 100. If you deposit 50, you get 50. So don't forget to enter that promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100 from Prize Picks. Making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. Make sure you're checking out the ultimate pro basketball preview starting October 10th. It's a 6-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NBA season. Local team experts and the NBA insiders of the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey all combining into one ultimate NBA preview. It starts October 10th. Search for Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. We're a part of that thing, and we're part of the Locked On NBA podcast today. And today, the GM survey, the annual GM survey, or as I like to say, GM in air quotes, because who knows who fills these things up. But
it's fun, though. You know, it's always a fun read.
It is very interesting. You get a little pulse of how the league is thinking about things going in. Right up front, we got to say, these things are never correct. They're never on point. They almost never get like a lot of these right, but it gives you a sense of what people are thinking. Like they picked the Milwaukee Bucks to win the NBA Finals. 43% picked Milwaukee. Behind next is Golden State, then the Clippers, then the Celtics. Last year they picked the Brooklyn Nets, 72%. They were not close
when it came to probably over the Lakers.
Probably. So there are a few interesting things. So we're going to go, like, you can go down and check it out. You get a sense. You want to start your team with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Of course you do. But there were some interesting ones that came out that kind of like piqued our interest. And I'll throw one out at you. I'll go first. I got the microphone. Most promising young core, Cleveland Cavaliers over the Memphis Grizzlies and the Detroit Pistons. It's close. Cleveland over Memphis, 41% to 38%. Are you surprised at all that Cleveland is up here? Did they jump up that high simply because they got Donovan Mitchell?
Well, I mean, you're talking about four all-star caliber players or, you know, all-star adjacent with Cleveland right now, as opposed to Memphis with three. If depending on how high you think of Desmond Bane, and I guess, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., if nothing else, can be like an all defense caliber player, if not necessarily an all-star. I think Ja is the best player right now by all of them, and it's not really close. But you could say three, maybe four of the next best after them are arguably all on Cleveland. And it's quite possible that Evan Mobley in 3 years could be the best of everybody. Like, you know, especially when you take into account what he can do on both sides of the ball. So it's not surprising to see Cleveland there at all. I mean, they were moving in a good direction in terms of their youth anyway, but then you add Donovan Mitchell, who's still on the young side. And yeah, that sounds predictable, if not necessarily accurate.
I just thought that, you know, the Ja Morant phenomenon was so strong that would carry the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, your point is obviously well taken, that between Mobley and Jared Allen down low and just that the perimeter talent, it's certainly one of the most promising young cores. There's no doubt that they belong up there. I just thought that maybe this Memphis Ja kind of juggernaut, the hype would kind of overtake that.
I mean, Ja's my favorite young player in the league. I mean, so you're never gonna get me upset by declaring him the best young player in the league or part of the best young core. I just think also there's a bit of shiny newness with what's going on with Cleveland as well.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they unexpectedly ended up with Donovan Mitchell. So that lends some excitement that they don't have right now in Memphis. You know, you don't even know when Jaren Jackson Jr. is gonna be available heading into this season.
Sure. Yeah, and at Memphis, I think a lot of people are thinking like, let's see, because they lost a couple of guys. So, all right, okay. I went first. I'll give you one. What's one of the more interesting things that you saw?
Well, I mean, I couldn't help but be thinking about this through the prism of the Lakers, and
of course,
Anthony Davis, the only place where he popped up in this thing at all was getting some votes or maybe a vote for breakout season candidate. You know, Anthony Davis is, you know, 29, I believe, or about to turn 29. So he's been in the league for a while. He's, you know, he was the second best player on a championship team. For him to only pop up in breakout season is indicative of how the league thinks he's got some serious bouncing back to do. No votes for best center, no votes for power forward, no votes for best defensive player in the league, no votes for best interior defender, no votes for most versatile player. So, you know, and as somebody who covers the Lakers, I can tell you right now, for all the talk about, you know, Russell Westbrook, will they trade him? Can Darvin Ham get through to him? The supporting cast, the shooting that they didn't bring in this season, the wing defense they didn't bring in this season, you know, how many games will LeBron be available? Nothing is more singularly important to their fortunes than Anthony Davis. And it's not even close.
Yeah. I mean, he is at the centerpiece of all of that because LeBron can't do it himself anymore. And LeBron, even I will say, it's kind of interesting that the Lakers have been kind of diminished to this point. Cause even if you go to the best small forward in the NBA, LeBron is fourth You got Kevin Durant first, Jason Tatum second, Luka Doncic third, and LeBron there with 10th, and Kawhi Leonard behind him. So kind of interesting that the Lakers – and look, LeBron shows up in the best power forward behind Giannis, but at only 10%. So even then, I think the shine is off the Lakers significantly here. And you know, look, after the way that last season went, that's the way it goes.
It's actually not the worst thing in the world for them. I think being under the radar a little bit and, you know, maybe being in a position of under-promising and over-delivering, when you take into account what happened last year, I actually think that's pretty good for them.
Yeah, I know. It was interesting to hear the language that the Lakers used that media day. They weren't talking about championships. They were talking about getting back to the playoffs. They just kind of like just adjusted the language just a little bit. So
as well they should.
Yeah. All right. You got a Lakers one. I'll get a Celtics one. My Celtics one is and I definitely went hard on this one in the Locked On Celtics podcast. The best defensive player in the NBA. Number one, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 48%. Draymond Green, number two, 24%. Okay. Rudy Gobert, 10%. Okay. Then also receiving votes. Bam Adebayo, Drew Holiday, Kawhi Leonard, Ben Simmons, Andrew Wiggins. Where is the defensive player of the year?
Wow.
Where is the defensive player of the year? Marcus Smart. Now, he was number one in the best perimeter defender in the NBA. But who said Andrew Wiggins is a better defensive player than Marcus Smart? Who?
That's really crazy. I'll be honest. I did not notice that the first time around. I think I just sort of assumed Marcus Smart was somewhere in that mix. And I think it's indicative of how, you know, this is front office voting and stuff like that, but he was considered kind of a controversial winner last season. Like the idea of you can't give it to Rudy Gobert again. You can't give it to Draymond Green again. You got to go somebody new. Smart was, I think, the most visible member of last year's best defense.
Yeah.
Or best team defense. And I like Marcus Smart. I'm not saying this to take anything away from him, but he was a polarizing pick to end up winning that thing. And I think you're seeing it right now in this exact polling.
Sure. I get that. I think if Draymond Green played enough games last year, he would have won it.
I think he definitely would have.
But Marcus Smart did. And if you're voting best perimeter defender in the NBA, if you're saying he's the best on the perimeter, then how can you not even mention him? I get the big man, but like there's the big man defensive bias, very visible. Like, yeah, and Giannis, first of all, let me just throw this out there. Giannis is the best defensive player, I think, in the league. Like, he's out there. He's crazy. Draymond, still really good. Rudy, obviously, has his Defensive Player of the Year awards. So I get all that. I get why they would get the votes. But I'm just saying, why doesn't Marcus Smart get one mention in there? All right, you got one more?
Yeah, it seems like GMs are predicting the year of Luka. They predicted that he'll win MVP. He came in second behind Giannis for if he could start a franchise around one player, who would it be? And he finished top three or higher for best point guard, best shooting guard, and best small forward. The only player in the NBA to appear for three positions like Durant, LeBron, Giannis, Steph, Jason Tatum. They appeared in two. Three is amazing. And like on the plus side, if he's not conditioned to begin the season, like is often the case for Luka, maybe put on enough weight for power forward. So you're in four positions.
I like that. All right. That'll bring us to our real or fake, the game we like to play every Wednesday here on Locked On NBA. And we'll do that in just a second. Making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. How about Locked On Fantasy Basketball? Go check out Josh Lloyd, the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet, for good reason. This dude knows it all. He knows it all. If you want to win your fantasy league and you're not listening to Josh Lloyd, then you're just not serious about your league. Check it out wherever you get this podcast or it's on YouTube. All right, we like to play real or fake here, Andy. And so the real or fake question based off of the last segment is, the GMs said, 48% of the GMs said Luka Doncic was going to be the MVP. Real or fake, Andy, is Luka Doncic going to be the MVP this year?
Ooh, I'm going real. because I feel like he is in a position to show just how good he is because the Mavs arguably got worse this offseason. They didn't replace Jalen Brunson. I know Tim Hardaway Jr. is coming back, and Christian Wood is a talented young scorer who can put the ball on the floor a little bit, but he's not able to run an offense. And I think scoring in as many places on the floor as Brunson, there is a ton of responsibility on Luka this season. Like, it feels very reminiscent of the year when Dirk Nowitzki won a title. Like, the closest thing he had to an all-star that season was Tyson Chandler as an all-defense caliber player. Jason Kidd was past his prime. Jason Terry and Sean Marion, like, they were on the verge of leaving their primes. Like, these are all still good players, but nobody who really scared you at all other than Dirk. There's nobody on the Mavericks who scares you other than Luka. But as we just talked about, based on the thoughts of execs around the league, Luka scares the hell out of him. So I think if the Mavericks can manage to finish with home court to begin the playoffs, I think Luka's going to win MVP.
I mean, look, it's a fair argument to make, and Luka is really damn good. So, and clutch and able to do it at every level. I get all that, and I do believe that he will be in the mix, because when you're as good as Luka Doncic and you're probably a first-team All-NBA guy, you're in the mix. But my answer is going to be fake. I think this year's MVP is going to be Joel Embiid.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think, and that's going to be for a couple of reasons. Obviously, I think Philly is going to be good. I think Philly is in that mix. I think in the East, it's Milwaukee, Boston, and Philadelphia up at the top. Brooklyn has a chance, obviously, but you know, with all of their drama, who knows? But they're certainly talented enough to be in that mix. So if Philly is up near the top and Embiid has his normal season, I feel like I honestly, I feel like we're in a trend here where the MVP vote is a year behind. So Luka might have this great year and win the MVP next year if he just duplicates it. I think there is some the backlash. I don't know if backlash is the right word, but for Jokic to win the MVP twice in a row and B to have, you know, the year that he had and with the team that he had, I think if the same stats are put up and Philly is a top two or three seed, I kind of feel like the voters would be like, you know what? Embiid's kind of been dancing around MVP for a while. Let's give it to him this year. And in part because you might also say, I don't know how, if he's going to be healthy enough to do it next year or the year after. If he's healthy enough and he plays like 60 something games and he has the type of normal Embiid year and Philly is a top two seed, I'm just going Embiid. They'll do it now in this way. If for some reason he just never is good enough to win the MVP again, he got the one. You got to get him one.
Yeah, he's finished runner up 2 years running, and he's an awfully talented player to keep being the Susan Lucci of this voting. And
nice current reference, by the way.
Well, I mean, she still keeps losing, right? I mean, I believe she still has not won, which. Yeah, I believe it's the Emmys that she's hasn't won, as opposed to like the Golden Globes or whatever. Soap opera star, for people who have no idea what we're talking about. Soap opera legend. But, you know, Embiid is also somebody who gets on and off the court a lot of attention. He does a lot of talking. He will not be shy about letting you know if he's having that type of campaign. Yo, where the hell is my trophy? Like, about time, TikTok. And I think that can be persuasive again, especially if he is having a year like that, because some of the other usual suspects in Jokic and Giannis and Steph, they've already won a couple times, you know, like they're going to be looking for somebody else. We know this. Voters get bored.
Susan Lucci has won one Emmy.
Oh, I
will say this. I'm gonna give it to you in a roundabout way, because I'm talking about Joel Embiid finally winning the one
Okay.
I think he will be Susan Lucci.
Okay.
I think he'll finally win one.
There you go. And my apologies to Miss Lucci. I didn't want to take away this award from you. I'm sure she's a regular listener. Again, my apologies to a legend. Real or fake, John Corrales? We just got from our friends over at Bet Online new odds for most improved player. Mm-hmm. And at 10-1, the favorite right now, Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves, coming in at 10-1. Behind him, Tyrese Halliburton at 12-1, Jalen Brunson 14-1, Zion at 16-1, and then a few guys behind them at 20-1. Goes all the way down to 100-1. Tyler Hero. Think if he got this and paid. Quite a year for Hero. But real or fake, Anthony Edwards, most improved player.
He's right in that wheelhouse, right? It's a third year. Third year guys tend to get them. I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to say fake because he's already really good. And the reason I'm hemming and hawing is because with Rudy on the Timberwolves, does that raise the level of wins? And now you know how it goes. You play better and you win and you get on, you know, a little bit more exposure. I will say fake. I'm going to give the same bump for the same winning. I'm going to say it's going to be Tyrese Maxey. I think Maxey's the guy.
That is a real possibility. I'm going real, and I feel like there's a template that we've been working with right now that I think fits very well with where Anthony Edwards is in his career. Lately, we've seen a lot of guys who were seen as either stars or budding stars in their own right taking that next leap. Anthony Edwards is coming off a playoff appearance, an appearance in the movie Hustle, which he's fantastic in. He's really good in this role, and this is important. I think he's going to make his first All-Star team appearance this season. And the last three most improved players, Ja Morant, then before him, Julius Randle, then before him, Brandon Ingram, all won in the season where they made their first All-Star appearance. Then it skips a year with Pascal Siakam going back. And then the next two seasons after Siakam with Victor Oladipo and Giannis, both first-time All-Stars becoming most improved players, all of whom had established really good foundations for themselves. And I feel like the award is becoming more of an established guy making the star leap as opposed to solid player jumping to good or somebody who hadn't been considered all that great coming out of nowhere. It feels like that's where the award is right now.
Yeah, yeah. In that vein, then maybe I should go with Desmond Bane.
Because that's a real possibility.
I think Desmond Bane's going to have the increased opportunities at 50-1. He's going to have increased chances in Memphis. You got the star power next to him. He's just a lights out shooter. And I think if Memphis continues to be one of the top teams in the West, he might be a guy that is looked at as an outside chance at an all-star as well. So I think he'll be a candidate. I like your argument. You might be right. Money-wise, betting-wise, I like the 50-1 odds on Desmond Bane to pay me better. So that's where I'd put my money.
Those are good. I would say that's actually a really interesting way. If you're looking at a guy who's a bit of a dark horse but may have a more realistic pick or more realistic odds than – I mean, I never put anything past the odds makers, but just then you may recognize Desmond Bane's actually a really sneaky good call.
You know, if I got 20 bucks to throw it down, I'm getting the guy who's going to give me 50-1 as opposed to the guy who's going to give me 10-1. And I think Bane might be the guy.
No, that's
plus,
a good call.
I also want to change my answer. I don't want to give as a Boston guy, I'm already doing the podcast with a Lakers guy. That's enough. I've already called a Sixers guy the MVP. I can't be giving out another Sixer an award. Like I just can't do that. Especially on a day where Marcus Smart doesn't get the recognition he deserves. Too much for me. I got to go to Memphis. I'm officially changing my answer to Desmond Bane.
There you go. You heard it here first.
All right. I'm also ending this podcast because I think we've done enough damage.
to who?
To me. All right, my fragile ego and psyche. Appreciate the time here, Andy. This is a lot of fun.
Yep.
For the Lakers Celtics Locked On NBA podcast. Andy does Locked On Lakers. You can follow him at Cam Brothers on Twitter. I am John Corrales, host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow me at John_Corrales on Twitter. Love that you are subscribed. I can't believe that you're not, if you're not. So subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. It's free. It's daily. YouTube, if you want to watch the show, you want to see how we're talking about it, you want to see the faces we're making at each other, get on YouTube. Ring the bell so you get notified as soon as we drop the show. And make comments, feed the algorithm. And, of course, we'd love it if you shared the podcast. Tell your friends and family they should be watching, listening to the Locked On NBA podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.